Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your hosts, Vinny Bonsignor and Sam Gordon.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation First and 10, your weekly Monday go-to for Raider news and analysis. Not much going on, although there's actually a lot going on. It's one of those weird times of the year where you may not see all the work coming to fruition in breaking news and headlines. But I know for a fact, checking in pretty much on a daily basis, that the Raiders are pretty busy right now. A lot of scouts and coaches and general manager all over the country checking out pro days. As pro days go on, remember these pro days this year take on a whole lot more importance because of the lack of time that coaches and scouts and general managers and all of that could actually get on campuses. There was no scouting combine this year in Indianapolis, so that was out. So really, besides film and making phone calls and trying to tap into all your resources and relationships across the country, this represents, and also there was the Senior Bowl as well, but this represents these pro days, one last look, as intimate a look as you possibly are going to get during COVID-19 of these top college prospects. And a lot of these guys, didn't even play last year. So there's guys at the University of Miami, Penn State, these players that just didn't play because of COVID-19. Now scouts are trying to play catch up, and general managers are trying to play catch up on the evaluation of them. But before we get into all that, I just want to say that First and 10, Vegas Nation First and 10, is brought to you by the Las Vegas Review Journal and presented by Blue Wire. And without further ado, I would like to welcome in my co-host, teammate over at the Las Vegas Review Journal and Vegas Nation, Sam Gordon. How are you doing, my man?
Vinny, what's up? How are you, man? Happy to be here again. It is April, our first April podcast, and that means the draft is in a few weeks. Believe it or not, we are getting close to the 2021 season, and the draft kind of metaphorically marks that big next step, and here we are only a few weeks out.
We are only a few weeks out, and then, after the draft begets mini camps and OTAs and the start of players being able to get into the building. Looks like April, I think it's April 19th, where players can start coming into buildings to get some conditioning work done. But there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of determining who can actually get in. Are you vaccinated? Are there special days for vaccinated players, non-vaccinated players? So it's still a little bit confusing. We'll find out where the NFL goes with all that. But speaking about conditioning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if you saw it, but it was on Twitter last week, and we did a story on this. But Sam Gordon got a chance to go work out with Jonathan Abram. And who else was there? Was it Amik Robinson?
Keyshawn Nixon.
Okay. So I got a couple questions, Sam. I have a couple questions on this. First of all, your attire. Okay. Now, full disclosure, I've run into Sam at the gym, more than a few times. So I know when he's crack-a-lacking at the gym, he's dressed appropriately. He's got his big old gallon of water, and he's ready to rock and roll. Like, he looks the part of a dude that's out there putting in the work. Gotta say, Sam, you look kind of like a fish out of water a little bit with the attire.
I did, Vinny.
All right,
so I did.
And this is what I need to ask. Was this one of those spur of the moment, well, get your butt down here and work out with us type things, where you just dropped everything at the, and just ran over to the gym? Or how did this all come about? And for the love of God, why were you dressed in, I think it was jeans. Was it a jean?
Yeah, jeans, Vinny, jeans.
All right, story.
I want to be very clear to everybody listening right now. Rule number one, never wear jeans to work out, right?
Right,
that's not exactly. Only rule number one, that is also rule number two. I learned the hard way, right? I thought, Vinny, I was just going to check in with the guys and see see how they were doing, see what was going on. You know what I'm saying? I should have thought beforehand, hey, I am going to work out. I might, I should show up just in case, right? Just in case anything goes on, just in case anything pops off. I was not prepared, right? I was not prepared. Little did I know that the guys were going to want me to join in and jump in. But when Sam Gordon is challenged, Sam Gordon steps up to the plate and does not turn any challenge down. And even though I was in the jeans, when Keyshawn and Jonathan and their trainer Deion Hodges over there at the Performance Institute on Buffalo, I believe is the street it's on, when they said jump in and give this a try, I had no choice, Vinny. I had no choice, jeans and all. And I got busy to the best of my ability, and I got to kind of experience what those guys go through. And believe me, as you know, the workouts that they were going through, the speed, the pace, a lot of functional strength type stuff, which makes sense because they are NFL athletes competing at the highest level. I do a lot more of the meathead, traditional, just get big and get solid kind of stuff. And it was different. I was outside of my comfort zone a little bit. But I vowed that if I came back, Vinny, I would come back in the right attire and I'd be ready to go. And I am waiting for my opportunity to come back and put a full workout in with those guys. I think I can hang.
Yeah, no doubt. And tip of the cap for not walking the walk. talking the talk and walking the walk on a spur of the moment. They challenged you. You rose up to the challenge. Didn't matter what you were wearing. You jumped in feet first. And got after it. Rule number one, no jeans. Rule number two, I would say no jeans, but also wipe off the machines. Humming or singing. Like, do you ever get you ever walk into or run into that dude that's humming or singing or talking on the phone? While he's doing the workout, it's just annoying. Shut up, get your workout in. I don't need all the shenanigans and everything like that. But under these circumstances, Sam, I think that you get a pass on that.
Thank you, Vinny. I appreciate it.
They just pointed the finger at you and said, "You're next man up," and next man up. Rose.
Yeah, that's the mentality. That's the mentality of the NFL, right? It's next man up league.
You know, I've seen NFL dudes or just professional athletes work out, and specifically NFL guys. During the off season, and one thing that really jumped out at me was the speed and what they were trying. You know, it was like station to station, but just like get a quick set in, rest for about 20 seconds, get another set in, rest for about another 20 seconds, get another set in. And part of it is because you're trying to replicate for your body the pace of football. It's a lot of stop and stop, start, stop and start. Yes, you need endurance. Yes, you need that kind of endurance where you're running long distances to expand your overall endurance. But there's also that stop and start nature of football. Did you see any of that in their workout?
Yeah, no question. I mean, it was very, very regimented, and Deion did a tremendous job making sure those guys were going at the right pace and they were up for the challenge. I mean, that's like you said, that's part of it, is getting ready. Very much about getting ready to play an NFL game and getting ready to play, beyond that, a 20 game season, 17 now with the three preseason games, but replicating a lot of those movements and a lot of the functions and a lot of the kind of the things that those guys are going to be doing in games that I don't, as a non-professional athlete, as somebody who just works out recreationally, I don't even think about. So there's very much a plan in place for what those guys are doing and what they're trying to get out of the offseason. And I imagine that's not unique to Jonathan Abram and Keyshawn Nixon. I mean, it's the way that they're preparing. And it was at 7 a.m. sharp. I mean, early risers, early bird gets the worm. Very professional, very efficient. We're going to hit these movements, bang, 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 bang. These kind of exercises, you're working multiple body parts at one time, a lot of core stuff, a lot of functional strength, and very impressed. And those guys handled their business. It was a very, very, very efficient process. And I got to get used to it.
Yeah, efficiency is definitely something that marks those type of workouts. How long? What was the length of the workout?
Yeah, they were probably in the gym for about an hour and a half or so, maybe a little less. 75 minutes. But I got a lot done. A lot of compound stuff, a lot of stretching, and then we shot baskets afterwards. There's basketball court and facility. We had a chance to shoot around. My jumper's a little rusty. I can admit that, Vinny. Even though I got through the workout okay. Jump shot's a little right. I mean, listen, the courts have been closed for a year because of the coronavirus pandemic. I haven't had a chance to shoot. They took the rims off the baskets at the parks. So I got to refine the jump shot before I come back. If there's going to be any pickup games, any 21, that has a long way to go. But yeah, it was a very efficient workout nonetheless. It was cool to see, to get an opportunity to see firsthand how elite NFL athletes train and prepare for the season. And I imagine the intensity has been building throughout the course of the offseason.
Well, we're going to get into, the conversation that you had with Jonathan Abram, because I think that he's a really important part of, obviously, yep. of the defense. But my just quick little gym story for myself, back in my heyday, and I did actually have a heyday. I'll show you pictures one day. But anyway, I worked out in it was in Encino, California. Okay, if you're not familiar with Encino, it's right at the edge of the San Fernando Valley. You're almost getting into over to the 405 and crossing over and Hollywood and all that. But anyway, so this gym that I worked out at every morning, and Sam, I was there from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. like 7 days a week. It was no joke. I was there.
You were locked in.
Locked in. That's where I met my wife, by the way. So. Anyway, it was back when newspapers were a little bit, you know, more prevalent, and my I was a columnist, and so my picture was in the paper like all the time, right? And so I'm working out literally with actors and producers and, you know, all these. It's just a Hollywood out kind of a gym, and a lot of other industries and everything like that. But I'm the dude that everybody saw in the newspaper, because back then people read the paper a lot more, right? So, yeah. And I'd be on, you know, a machine, and invariably, and it was cool because it struck up a lot of conversations. Actually, like I said, I met my wife there, but people would see me and they would automatically come talk about sports. So my workouts for like 2 hours were literally working out and what's going on with the Dodgers? What's going on with can you get me to Shaq? And I literally had this dude, he was a psychologist, all right? A psychologist who was convinced that he can fix Shaq's free throw shooting. Remember, Shaq was a horrible free throw shooter. And he's trying to tell me, I could see it in his face. He's nervous as hell. It's the burden of the whole thing. I could fix him in 5 seconds. Can you please get me? So it was just like this. I felt like I remember meeting a couple of doctors there, and they're like, welcome to my world. Because in your world, when you're not doctoring or officially on doctor, doc, I got this. It's my elbow. You know, it's what do I do for, you know, and you're constantly doing your job. But it was a lot of fun. But that's my one gym story.
Yeah,
you
were in the mix, Vinny. Yeah. Oh, you were around with the heavy, you were with the heavy hitters. And more importantly, they were around you. You're a heavy hitter yourself.
You know who who worked out at the same exact time that I did pretty much every day, almost every guy from New Edition, the group New Edition.
Oh yeah.
Bev, Dova, all those dudes. Right. So, and we would talk, and it was funny because, you know, now they're grown men. Now they're in their 30s, pushing 40 and everything like that. Even back then, and we were talking, I remember asking him one time, I think it was Ricky Bell, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
Ricky Bell. So I was like, did you, because it was ironic because there was a video, one of their old videos was on the TV one day, and it was Candy Girl.
Hey, oh, yeah.
You know that song, right?
Classic. So,
and we're all laughing because it's up on the TV. And I was like, did you guys even know what the hell you were singing about? Like the word, because you're like 12 years old talking about girls and stuff like that. And he was like, no, man, they just gave us the lyrics. Here's the dance steps. Sing the song. We didn't know what the heck we were talking about. We eventually figured it all out. But yeah, at that point, no. It's just like, we're just kids, dumb kids that were just singing songs, you know. So anyway, those were some good times. But I did have a heyday, Sam. I really, really did have a heyday. Trying to get back to that heyday. Maybe
you're still in your heyday.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. All right, so Jonathan Abram, obviously, not just, you know, kudos to him putting in the time. You know, obviously, it means a lot to him. And I know it means a lot to Jonathan. You know, his struggles last year weren't for a lack of want. There was just, you know, he didn't play well, though. You know, he didn't play consistently well. Right. And there were some glaring mistakes. Did you get into, you know, it with him, his plans for this year and his reflections on last year and now moving forward with Gus Bradley, the new defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I definitely got the sense, Vinny. You know, he didn't delve too much into specifics. I think just kind of speaking with him and his trainer, Dion, who he's known for a long time, right, dating back to his days as a high school student in Mississippi, that they understand that last year, I mean, wasn't good enough, right? I mean, Dion especially was very upfront. Look, we're critical. We understand what we need to do. We understand that there's another level to get to. Very upfront about that. I think from Abram's perspective, I think for him, certainly disappointing year. They didn't win enough games. He knows that. This was a team that was, as we know, in position to make a run in a wild card berth, right? 6-3 at one point, and we had a great performance against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, and it was actually one of his mistakes in coverage there at the end of the game that cost the Chiefs that game when he bailed from his coverage spot to go pursue Patrick Mahomes. So I think that, you know, he understands that he needs to take it to another level and this defense gets to another level. I think he's very excited with that, very excited about Gus Bradley, the addition of Gus Bradley. And I think Gus Bradley's scheme, Vinny, he runs a lot of cover three. I mean, the data's out there. That's kind of their base defense. No team in the league played more cover three last year than the Chargers. And if they're in that cover three system and you get the right safety, a free safety back there to drop back and take that deep third and kind of do his thing in coverage, it's going to put Jonathan Abram in a position to be around the line of scrimmage more, where I thought he was at his best, right? We saw him last year come down from the box, make plays in the backfield. You saw the potential. You saw what could be, the physical tools, the speed, the power, the aggressiveness, that mentality. It's just kind of about tapping into that now and taking that to the next level. And I think for Jonathan, in speaking with him, one of the big things for him was getting through the year healthy, right? Like we know he missed almost his entire rookie season, played one game as a rookie. And as a result, with all the rehab he was doing because he screwed up his shoulder pretty badly with the rotator cuff and the labrum, all the rehab was doing, he felt like he was behind last year prepping for the season. And there's no OTAs. There's no the training camp isn't what a conventional training camp is. Everything's different because of coronavirus. And he really felt like he was behind the eight ball, and that was the term he used, behind the eight ball, just a little slow, a little behind. But now with kind of a year of experience under his belt, a year of understanding what he needs to do, where he needs to improve, a year of film to study, I think that's huge for him as he tries to take the next step as an NFL player and help this defense round itself into form, because the defense wasn't good enough, and the Raiders have done a lot to address that. And in turn, those moves – I would expect that they're going to help him have an opportunity to become a better player as well.
Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jonathan was a guest on my radio show, in the huddle on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. By the way, and you can listen to it on all the various apps and things like that. But anyway, he had told me, and this was no excuse. He wasn't trying to use this as an excuse, but just kind of expressing the reality of the situation. There were literally weeks where, because contact tracing and protocols and things like that, he was telling me that there were weeks that he would literally wasn't even allowed to step foot in the building, all right, during practice. Yeah. No practice time, no gym time, no none of that. You know, everything was on his own except for, you know, some of the various meetings and stuff that he was able to get onto Zoom. And then he had to go play on Sunday. Like, it was to that, you know, level at times last week. And I'm sorry. I don't know how many teams, you know, had to go through that. I know the Raiders had to go through it a couple of times. Thanks. Shout out to Trent Brown for not following the rules and regulations that put some guys behind the eight ball a couple of times, but that's not easy to do, you know, at right. this level, and especially with, and we've talked about this quite a bit, a young defense, a defense with a lot of new players last year, and a guy in Jonathan Abram who's young himself, like you mentioned, he was really playing his rookie year last year in terms of activity and playing games. And to have that kind of a situation thrown at you, on top of the fact that there wasn't any OTAs, on top of the fact that it was a condensed training camp, on top of the fact that even a regular normal day was anything but normal last year, even during the regular season, on top of all that, there were weeks where this kid and other guys couldn't even get in the building and then had to go play on Sunday. We would be remiss and really doing a disservice not to point that out. Like, they're like the struggles of this defense, the struggles sometimes of Jonathan Abram, weren't just, weren't exclusive to talent. And I think the talent part of it in some of these young players' cases was the least of the issues. You know, obviously they have to take the step forward now in year two and year three for some of these guys, and no excuses on that. But just getting back to a normal routine, I would think, is going to help immeasurably.
Yeah, I think so too. And just having a chance to have NFL experience now, and to have NFL experience right during the most arduous and challenging of circumstances, I think can only serve as a precursor for some improvement here in 2021 as the defense improves. And with Jonathan Abram in particular, Vinny, like I did a story towards the end of the football, the NFL season, and Jonathan was unavailable for an interview because he was in the concussion protocol at the time. But I talked to, you know, his high school coaches and people that work with him in college and people that work with him in junior college. And he's a kid who was he was not a highly touted recruit. He was a two-star kid that essentially built himself into an NFL player through sheer passion, sheer work ethic, you know, in the weight room and in the film room. And people I talked to, you know, talked to me, again, high school coaches, college coaches, junior college coaches, people that have been around him at various stages of his career had talked to me about his passion for football, his intensity, the way he competes, how relentless of a competitor he is, and things of that nature, those kind of attributes. And I tend, you know, and you can speak to this too, Vinny, those are the kind of guys that I tend to bet on, you know, long term, is guys who have that work ethic and that mentality where they want to be great and they want to get everything out of their ability. And yeah, Jonathan Abram did not have a great 2020 campaign. There's no doubt about that. And he's acutely aware of that. But with his mentality, with his drive, and again, this is several people that talked to me about this, I would imagine he is in line for some improvement and for improved play in 2021, just based on his character and based on his work ethic. I think those things matter at the NFL level in all sports, but I think they really matter. And I think we're going to see an improved player because he has a better understanding of who he is now in this league and what he needs to do to be great. And he's never been afraid of the work. That's one thing that's very clear since he was 15, 16, 17 years old. He's been about the work and he's about the work now, knowing that, hey, there's a sense of urgency here with him personally and with this defense, because the offense last year, as we know, was playoff caliber, was good enough to be in the postseason. The defense didn't get it done. So he'll be better. I think the defense will be better based on the moves that they made. And it should be an interesting year. It's certainly an interesting few weeks with the draft setting up to see how they build everything out. But he has a drive and a will to want to be great, and he's not afraid of the work.
Yeah, and I think it was you know, I did a story. It's on VegasNation.com and Vegas Nation on the app and Las Vegas Review Journal. But it was about the defense. It was breaking down, you know, position by position for the defense. And I got to the linebackers, you know, after doing the defensive line breakdown, I get to the linebackers and it dawned on me, and I had to text somebody to make sure. I want to say this is the first time in John Gruden's tenure here that they're returning their starting linebacker crew intact. Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Nicholas Morrow. And, you know, I don't think that's been from 2018 to 2019, no. 2019 to 2020, no. And now, but this year for the first time, you know, and I was like, man, that continuity, my text was, you know, obviously guys got to get better, but that continuity, you know, has to stand for something. And the response that I got back was really, really, really feel much better about just the front seven. So when you talk about those linebackers and then you talk about everybody that they've added to the defensive line and guys that are coming back, and one player in particular that I was pointed out to is the Darius. Hang on one second.
Filon.
Yeah, Darius Filon. I want to pronounce the last name correctly. They really feel like this is a sleeper player that they got. Somebody that, you know, had some legal issues. It derailed him for 2 years. This kid hasn't played football for two seasons, but he was actually a really productive player in his role. You know, when last heard from in 2018, I think it was with the Chargers, missed 2019, missed 2020, trying to sort through all these issues. It was one issue. That's behind him. And now he's ready to, it sounds like he's chapping at the bit to get back out there. But larger point, the Raiders feeling really good about that front seven, where it is Yannick Ngakoue, you know, Quentin Jefferson, Darius, Solomon Thomas, you know, Max Crosby getting better, Clee Farrell getting better, Carl Nassib getting better. We'll see what happens with, you know, Arden Key. But anyway, I think when you're starting to talk about that secondary, the sense that I get, and there's still some moves left to be made with the secondary, but just the fact that front seven is going to be better invariably should be able to help the back end as well.
100%. You get more of a pass rush. You're better at the line of scrimmage. You're able to generate some kind of pressure and make the quarterback move around a little bit or make force him to get rid of the ball before he wants to, just by proxy, by sheer the nature of that in and of itself. It makes the job of the corners of the safeties a lot easier. You have to cover. You don't have to cover for as long. You can be a little bit. You can take a few more risks. You can be a little bit more aggressive. You can do different things. And when the pass rush, if and when the pass rush improves, and I think it will, based on the players they brought in, I think the trickle down effect is going to be enormous. And then you talk about the Gus Bradley effect, having a bona fide, established defensive coordinator that has drafted and developed players and has built out good defenses through the course of his career, having an opportunity to work with another young secondary, young players across the defense. I think they're in line for some improvement. And you're absolutely right, Vinny. It starts up front. It starts with that front four. Really a lot of depth up there now in that front seven, big picture. Having that continuity, having depth, having multiple players that can do multiple things and really put pressure on the quarterback and change life at the line of scrimmage, I think is going to be huge for that secondary in general. Now it's about, you know, rounding out the edges, smoothing everything over and finding a free safety maybe in the draft, because they haven't addressed it yet in free agency, that can help kind of finalize this improved product that they're looking to put out there on the field. But addressing the issues up front is going to be huge for players like Jonathan Abram and Trayvon Mullen and Damon Arnette and Amik Robertson and all the young guys that they have in that secondary. Keyshawn Nixon, like we had talked about, having a more efficient pass rush, more effective pass rush, I think is going to change the complex of this defense completely. And that's not to say they're all of a sudden going to become a top five defense overnight. Not saying that. But based on where they were at last year, especially up front, they had nowhere to go but up, and they've addressed those things, and it's going to have a big effect overall, I believe.
I agree. And you know, real quick before we get out of here, you know, the element of Gus Bradley and the coaches that he's brought with him, Ron Miles, Richard Smith, Rod Marinelli staying over as the defensive line coach. I think we're feeling that a little bit now in the direction that the Raiders took defensively, you know, right off the bat with the defensive line, put a lot of resources into that area, created competition, depth, you know, various skill sets and versatility. So that's where they obviously identified as this is where we need to get better, like ASAP, as quickly as possible. Let's focus on this. And it also kind of tips their hand a little bit in terms of where they feel the strength of the draft is and maybe where they feel the strength of the draft isn't. I think that by pouring the resources that they did in that defensive line, it's kind of evidence that, number one, they felt they needed to get a little bit more experience, obviously, on the defensive line, but also yep. maybe some of those answers that they needed might not be available to them in this particular draft. Whereas on the back end, I think the two messages that we're seeing is there's a belief in some of these young guys. There's a belief in Damon Arnette. There's a belief in Trayvon Mullen and perhaps even Amik Robertson and Jonathan Abram. And I think that while I do think there will be a move in the secondary at some point, maybe even before the draft, that's kind of the sense that I'm getting. I think they have their eyes on some secondary people in some pre-draft free agent acquisitions. But I also believe that they feel like that draft is going to put them in position to fill that free safety position in a way that maybe even the guy could just step in and be a day one starter. Just feels like that. But, you know, for Raider fans, Sam, I think that element of Gus Bradley and his eyes and vision and understanding and experience and taking a look at this roster and really deciding, hey, this is, I feel pretty good about this area. I feel pretty good about this area in terms of, you know, the draft as well. But we really need to get better on the defensive line. And it sure sounds like that's been the focus so far, and not at the expense of the secondary. I think that's coming, but I think I'm reading it correctly, Sam, that I think that there's some confidence in some of these guys that these coaches have developed after watching some film and doing their study.
No question. And I think, I mean, you know, in today's day and age, Vinny, everybody, like, we want to really, really quickly, you know, act like we know how good a guy's going to be after 1 or 2 years. And like, yeah, some guys obviously are good immediately and other guys aren't. And that's okay. Sometimes the developmental pattern is a little different. The trajectory is a little different. And just because some of those young players in the secondary struggled last year doesn't mean they're done developing or doesn't mean that there's no chance they're going to be good. You get, like you said, you get a Gus Bradley in here who develops, who drafts, who knows how to put guys in position to be successful. You upgrade the defensive line, and all of a sudden you're looking at a different unit. And I think there is going to be a lot more upside with this defense next year, or this upcoming season. It's going to balance out offensively what they want to do a whole lot more. Real quick, Vinny, before we get out of here, wanted you to touch on it. You had the news last week, not a surprise, but Colton Miller signs his contract extension. What does that mean, not just for Miller, but for the Raiders offensive line as a whole moving forward really quick?
Yeah, I think that obviously he's now the anchor, the leader of that offense, offensive line. I think that they made some moves, getting rid of some productive veterans. But in addition to doing that, they got rid of a lot of money that was tied into those three players, and it was all because they knew that Colton Miller, his time was coming in terms of the contract. I think now you have cost certainty if you're the Raiders at left tackle. That's a pretty premium position and a high price position, but they know now moving forward exactly what that's going to cost them, and it's going to allow them now. I actually think that signing him now or extending him now and getting an understanding of how it impacts this year's salary cap and the salary caps moving forward, it opens the door now for some other free agent acquisitions this year because now you have that element taken care of. I think that, got to figure out who's going to line up at right tackle, though. That's the key. But now, If the Raiders are able to draft that right tackle, let's say in the first round, and have somebody that they can count on for the next 5 years, alongside a guy like Colton Miller, it really balances things out in terms of the payroll. And they always have to, every team has to be thinking about that, where the resources are going, where the money is going, and balance it out with the position groups, because you can't just get too weighted down on one position group. It's because you have a whole other roster to deal with. So, good news for Colton Miller. I think good news for the Raiders. John Gruden, congratulations to him. That was his first round pick since coming back. Go look at the numbers. Guys that get drafted in the first round don't always get that second contract. Sometimes they don't even get that fifth year extended.
Yeah.
And look at the numbers. It's not a Raider thing. It's a league wide thing. It's not. I wouldn't say it's a crapshoot, but it's a gamble in that first round. And he hit a good solid, I think it got over the fence. I will call it a home run on Colton Miller. Anytime you can, figure out your anchor on the offensive line. But here's what's interesting to me real quick. Whoever they do draft at right tackle, it'll be interesting to me what that profile looks like. Is it just strictly a right tackle guy? Tevon Jenkins from Oklahoma State, or Christian Darshaw from Virginia Tech is there, and he's primarily a left tackle. Don't rule out bringing in a guy that's going to eventually be the left tackle and playing him at right tackle. And if everything works out correctly in 5 years, when that player's contract is coming up, maybe he shifts over to left tackle to replace Colton Miller, whose contract will be coming out, or just coming to an end at that point. That's a long way ahead. But keep an eye on who the Raiders draft at right tackle and see if there's some left tackle in that player's background. So, that's a story for another day. We'll be back at it next Monday. Same time, same channel. Want to say thank you to Larry Muir, our great producer. Thanks for everything you do, Larry. Sam, appreciate all the work. And don't forget, listen, next time, just pack a bag.
Pack a bag, Vinny.
Yeah,
that will not happen again.
Yes, exactly. I back my heyday, I would always have my gym clothes in the car just in case.
Just in case.
So just a little word of advice. But you look good, you handled yourself, and you did us proud. All of us.
Thank you, Vinny.
Proud. Thanks to that. Thanks to the listeners. You're why we do this. Really appreciate it. The numbers look great. And that's a tribute to you guys. We'll be back at it next week. Thanks to the Las Vegas Review Journal and Blue Wire, absolutely, for being our presenter. See you guys next week. Take care.
look for 7 at 7, local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app, and you're ready to go for 7 at 7.